With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's kick off this hour. Talk a little NBA. Reid Forgrave chats with us now, joins us. NBA analyst for CBS Sports. Hey, Reid, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning, buddy.
Reid, what's up, Reid?
What's going on, dudes? How are you?
Doing well, Reid. And an interesting deadline day. Let's start. Team that you think improved themselves the most?
I'm torn between those three teams in the Eastern Conference because. Look, there was just a massive Eastern Conference arms race over the past couple of days. To me, I think the Bucks getting Nikola Mirotic is an absolutely huge move. He fits in perfectly with what they're doing. And, giving up essentially Thon Maker for Nico Mirotic is a steal for them. Thon Maker was essentially out of the rotation. So that, I think, is a huge move. I think the Raptors getting Marc Gasol, they traded something for him. DeLon Wright is a player, player with potential. He's going to be an restricted free agent at the end of the year. Valanciunas obviously contributes to that team. But I think Marc Gasol, just that high IQ basketball, the leadership that he'll bring to that team, I think that is huge. I think those teams did a great job. And I've heard a lot of, on the surface, the Sixers getting Tobias Harris, that looks awesome. They got like a big four there. But I think you dig a little bit deeper, that trade is divisive. I've heard people say they love that trade, that's the Sixers going for it. But it's also, I've heard the word reckless being tossed around, just the idea that they gave up so much to get him. And look, you now got two of your four superstars who are unrestricted free agents. Who knows how this thing goes? I like that they're going for it this year. But they very well might have sacrificed the future in this, one chance of going for it in a year that they're, even if they make the finals, they're getting swept by the Warriors anyway.
Yeah, I'm a Sixers fan. There's no bench there, so I get you. But I want to ask you, Reid, after all the major trades, in the East and everything you just broke down, what team do you think right now in the East would get to the finals between the Raptors or Bucks, Celtics? What's your thought on what team could really be that team that gets into the big one?
Vegas odds, interestingly, have all four of those teams at the top of the East with the exact same odds to make the finals, 10-1, 10-1 to win the title. I take the Raptors. I don't feel particularly sure about that. I think those four teams, it's hard to sign a piece of paper between them. They are, I think the top of the Eastern Conference is so strong. That second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be awesome. But the reason I'd take the Raptors, I think their defense has the potential to be elite. I think they can make shots. I think they're very switchy. I think they're just they can match up against a whole lot of different teams. I worry a little bit about the Bucks when it comes to Brooke Lopez. How are teams going to scheme against him in the playoffs? What are they going to do with him on defense? Do they end up taking him out of the game plan? Stuff like that. So to me, I think the Raptors are the team that I'd pick. Boy, I fed incredibly uncertain about it.
Reid, you look at the Anthony Davis saga down in New Orleans. Was it a case of New Orleans getting convinced by Boston? Was it the case of New Orleans wanting to keep every single possible option open? Them playing the Lakers, everything that we've seen here over the last 9-10 days?
Look, I think part of it was just the assets. They look at this and they say, we want Jason Tatum. We want a guy that we think can be an all-star, and we don't think this Lakers package includes an all-star. Which, by the way, a year ago, heck, 6 months ago, I think people would have been a lot higher on that Lakers package than they are right now. Remember, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, these are all very young players. We don't know what they're going to look like 2 years from now, much less 5 years from now. So as much as people have crapped on that Lakers deal, I don't think it was nearly as bad as some people portrayed it to be. Like, that would have been a decent deal for the Pelicans. But remember, the other part of this, I do think there was a lot of, like, social pressure in the NBA for the Pelicans not to submit to the demands of LeBron James and Rick Paul and Clutch Sports. Danny Ainge is one thing. Danny Ainge being in Del Demps' ear and saying, look, we will give you guys the better offer if you guys can just wait. That's one thing. But the rest of the NBA and the resentment that they feel toward the Lakers, I know I've heard from a good source that Greg Popovich is one person who was in Del Demps' ear saying, don't make this trade. Remember, Greg Popovich was really angry when the Lakers got Pau Gasol back in the day. A trade that turned out pretty well for the Memphis Grizzlies, by the way, since they got Marc Gasol in that trade. But Greg Popovich said that trade was a ripoff, that the Lakers got something for nothing. And I think that was him saying that to Del Demps. There was just a lot of pressure in Del Demps' ear to, you know, press the brakes a little bit, to wait for the offseason.
Yeah, definitely. We're on the phone with Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports NBA analyst. Reed, so let me ask you, just to shift gears a little bit, down to Orlando. So as you know, Marco Fultz moving now, leaving Philadelphia, heading down to Orlando. I personally, Moose and I were talking about this earlier, I think this is really good for this kid. Needs a fresh coat of paint, and Moose brought up a good point. It's not like this guy's going to go and turn it up and score a ton of points on Orlando. But what do you think of this move? You think it's good for this kid right now? Maybe he can figure it out?
I think it's perfect. He needed a change of scenery. I mean, the fact that the Sixers got a highly protected first rounder in this is, frankly, a better deal than a lot of people thought, which is insane to me, because it was a year and a half ago this guy was the consensus number one pick in an absolutely stacked draft. I mean, consensus, not for me, by the way. I like Jason Tatum in that draft. But look, Fultz is, he can... This dude is filled with potential, and he's, what, 20 years old? Obviously, all sorts of red flags, but I think the Magic, the situation with the Magic, him going to a guy in Steve Clifford who is known for developing young players, him going to a place where the pressure is frankly off. It's not like the Orlando media is going to be watching.
Right, exactly.
I think it's great for him. This is a team that is not under pressure to win anytime soon. So he can take it slow, and I think it's just an incredible move by the Magic. So they're just frankly not risking all that much to get a guy who a year and a half ago was the missing piece for the Sixers. He was the guy who was going to take them to the promised land.
Yeah, but he isn't, and he wasn't, and the issue you have now with Mark.
Do we know that he won't be though?
Well, like, I mean, how much? Reed, how many specialists do you need to see? Either a guy can shoot or he can't.
20 years old, though. I mean, he can shoot in college, and he can do so many other things. Like, is this a mental thing, or is this a nerve damage thing? I don't think there's a for sure answer there, and I'm not sure if it's better if it's one or the other. But, like, the dude has – I mean, you watched him at the University of Washington.
Oh, no, he's a really talented guy. I get it, but and I understand that the issues down in Philadelphia between the lack of trust between him and the 76ers. Listen, he needed to go, and the 76ers needed to get rid of the headache. I understand all that. I'm not rooting against him. The concern I have, though, is, you know, how damaged is he? Because if it's a nerve issue, he's never going to be able to shoot. And if he can't shoot in the NBA – I mean, you could be a defensive player. You could do that. You're not going to have the impact that many people expected. Number two is, if it's a mental issue, I mean, Reed, we've all seen guys, just ask Rick Ankiel, that can't get over mental hurdles when it comes to it. I mean, the mind is a very positive thing, a very negative thing when it's working against you. If it's mental, I don't know if that's easier to overcome.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Like, which one's worse? But to me, what the Magic gave up, I mean, essentially, what, it's a second rounder and a highly protected first. I think it's a top 20 protected first. That ain't much for a guy who, again, a year and a half ago, maybe he is damaged goods, and maybe he's damaged goods forever, or maybe he's a guy who could still become a valuable player in the NBA. I just hate to, like, shut the door on a guy just because we've seen all these viral videos go out about some very, very ugly shooting and some really, really gross basketball.
You got nothing to lose if you're Orlando. If you're Orlando, you got nothing to lose either. He's young, to your point. Nothing. I get what Moose is saying, but he's 20 years old. I mean, he might find, but I get what you're saying too. I mean, but he is young. He's 20. So I mean,
if you're the Sixers, man, ship that drama out. It's it's a lost cause for them, especially when they're trying to win right now.
Reed, when Taz opened up the conversation with the question in terms of the Eastern Conference here, and for the first time in it feels like forever, it's no longer LeBron and everybody else, right? As he's out west with the Los Angeles Lakers, which I think is very, very refreshing here for the NBA fan, because Reed, for the first time in a long time, you can dream, you can think if you're a Sixer, Buck, a Celtic, Raptor fan, about making that kind of a run to get yourself to the NBA Finals, which I think is a great thing for Adam Silver and the NBA.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Completely agree. I don't know how you guys feel about the Denver Nuggets in the West. I think that's a team that is really up and coming. But
yes,
to me, if I'm doing the power rankings, I rank the Warriors first. And then, we'll see if the Celtics can really pull it together. There's some serious chemistry issues with that team. But I think right after the Warriors, I put those top four teams in the East as the next four teams in the NBA. So I agree. I think the parity is so important. Obviously, the Warriors are the Warriors, and they're going to go 16-0 in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the East is rising, and I think that is such a good thing for the NBA. And frankly, if we look toward next year, who knows what happens with the Warriors? I'm not going to ask Kevin Durant about it in the press conference. I don't want him to get mad at me. But look, if they do lose KD, I'd say the East might be favored just because of those top four teams in the East. We'll see what happens with the Raptors. But I think the East could be favored to win the NBA Finals.
Yeah, it's very intriguing for sure. Again, we're on the phone with our special guest, Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports NBA analyst. Reed, let me ask you, man, the Celtics, you think they're celebrating today to the fact that Anthony Davis is still in the Pelicans?
Yeah. I mean, they're both one of the losers of the trade deadline because, the three other contenders in the East just got a lot better. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, like long-term planning, they're the winners because this has been Danny Ainge's grand plan for a while. Pair Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis with this, super team and still have a lot of assets, a lot of young pieces around them. And it looked like there was a very good chance that was going to blow up over the past couple weeks. But, I think you have to be very pleased if you're Danny Ainge. Who knows what happens this year? Like I said, the team has a lot of issues. They also have one of the best coaches in the NBA. And, maybe the deepest talent base in the entire NBA. That team has just so much talent. I'm not sure if they have the elite talent as a few other teams, but they just have so much of it. They could easily be in the NBA Finals a few months from now. But Danny Ainge, if he comes out of this, post-Nets trade, this era of Celtics basketball, forget even a championship without a finals appearance, that would be a huge failure on his part. And I think the fact that Anthony Davis is still in play for them makes that possibility of a finals appearance over the next few years that much more possible for the Celtics.
Reed, why hasn't it worked so far this year for Boston?
Well, it's a great question. I think part of it is just the chemistry between Kyrie and the young guys. Kyrie's a weird dude. We saw the sniping in the media between him and Jaylen Brown and that young core a month or two ago. I think that's a big part of it. I think part of it is they just have too many cooks in the kitchen. Part of it is, we'll see. I tend to believe that this is a team that's going to be just as strong as those other three teams in the East when it comes down to it. Do you want Kyrie Irving to be the number one player on a championship caliber team? I'm not sure if the answer is yes. Kyrie Irving is awesome, right? Like he's a superstar, especially in the media sphere. This is a very random thing to say. I just traveled to India for a story for New York Times Magazine about basketball in India and how the NBA looks at India as its next frontier. And I swear there were three players out there that everyone would talk about. All these Indian kids. They talk about Steph Curry and LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, which it's amazing to me the cultural pull that he has. And I think it might be a little bit bigger than his basketball pull. He's a unique basketball player. I'm just not sure if he is that top-level superstar that can take you to a championship. That's what we always see with NBA teams. It's like you can have a lot of, you know, you can have five top 20 players on a team. And I think the team that ends up having a, you know, one top five player is favored in the playoffs.
You know, Reed, Taz and I discussed it, as a lot of people have, and he's grown frustrated by that, and that is the future of Kevin Durant in Golden State, you know, as he reprimanded the media the other day. And, you know, and that's fine, and he could show his emotion and show his frustration, want the story to go away. He could have ended the story, and he didn't, by saying how happy he is in Golden State and want to remain with the Warriors, and he did nothing of the sort. You know, there's this all this buzz that he wants to go to New York, that he wants to play with the Knicks, that it's almost a foregone conclusion. Do you think it's a foregone conclusion, Reed?
Boy, I mean, I sure have heard that buzz around the league that the Knicks wouldn't make that move if they didn't know someone or someone's plural were going to be coming to New York. I mean, I've heard KD plus someone else, KD plus Kyrie, KD plus Kemba Walker. Who knows? It's not like these huge free agent signings. It's not like the clock strikes midnight on July 1st and Kevin Durant's like, okay, it's time to weigh my options now. These are things that have been in play for a while. So, yeah, I mean, if I had to guess, and it's a total guess, I would guess that he's probably going to be with the New York Knicks, and it would make sense. He's done what he intended to do when he went to Golden State. He changed his legacy, and now it's kind of time for that next chapter. That said, I get why Kevin Durant is so angry at the media, and frankly, not just at specific members of the media, but just about the media culture in 2019. Like, I get why he's pissed off at that. He could have stopped it. He could have said that about the Warriors. He could, frankly, just live a little bit more in reality and realize that this is when you're a superstar in the NBA and this is part of the deal. But I'd be super annoyed by it. Like, this has been going on. I remember I was in Golden State the day before and the day of opening night, and this buzz was going on then. And I remember talking to some Warriors front office people, and they're like, we haven't even played a game yet, and you guys are obsessed with KD. Yeah, he could have stopped it by saying, I love it here and I'm going to stay here. But what if he's not sure, or what if he feels otherwise and he just doesn't want to lie? I think it is both the most impressive and my favorite thing about Kevin Durant, that he is so candid and he is so authentic. And it also hurts him a lot because he's a guy who, when he does talk to the media, he doesn't hold back in a good ways and bad ways.
Reed, final one is Golden State, right? We know they're the top dog out west, and clearly when they're clicking on all cylinders. Do they, you know, are they going to face their greatest challenge this year in a couple years since LeBron and Kyrie took them down, down 3-1?
I don't know. I think this team, if they're healthy, it is not going to be that much of a challenge, to be honest.
Gotcha.
I mean, there's a chance they could go 16-0 in the playoffs. They probably won't, like. I wouldn't guess that anyone would, but if this team is healthy and playing like they have been, I think they're going to be close to impossible to beat. Frankly, if there is a team that could beat them, I think it's a team from the Eastern Conference. I think it might be the Toronto Raptors, frankly, just like how they match up. But, yeah, if the Warriors are playing their best, nobody's beating them.
Hey, Reed, we appreciate the time this morning. Have a good weekend, all right, bud?
Thanks, Reed.
All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend
or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.